Welcome to Austin on the Air, candid conversations about air filtration and air quality and the impact it has on children and adults at school, work, and home.
Okay, then we'll start. Hey, welcome everybody to another episode of Austin on the Air. We're continuing our series on mental health, and today we have a special guest with us. We have Josh Thomas. He's the safety for the Arizona Cardinals, and he's also an Austin Air athlete. So I'm super excited to have him on the show today. Welcome, Josh. How you doing?
Doing well, Stacey. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, sure. So maybe to start, to give our listeners some more information, if you want to just kind of tell them what you've been up to, and I'd like to just, you know, hear a little bit more about your, you know, journey coming up into the league and, you know, kind of how you ended up here in Arizona.
Okay, well, I guess I'll start where I'm from. I'm from Montgomery, Alabama, born and raised. Went to a private school, Montgomery, the Montgomery Academy, where I was there from kindergarten to 12th grade. So made a lot of great friends there. Awesome. And then I went to Appalachian State in North Carolina. Played there for 5 years. Then I was in Buffalo for 2 years. And then after my third training camp there, I came out here to Arizona. They signed me after I got waived. And so I was here all last season just working, trying to find an opportunity. And they signed me back this year. So I'm back with the Cardinals and just been trying to work for opportunity ever since I got in the league. And so it's been a great journey so far, but I'm ready for what's next.
Awesome. So you like in Arizona, having a good off season?
Yeah, it's beautiful out here. It's hot, but way hotter than Buffalo. But yeah. I'm enjoying it. It's very nice out here. Can't beat this type of weather.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm sure you're warmer than we are on the
side. Oh yeah. No doubt. It's 83 right now. It's
pretty warm. I'm jealous. Definitely not that here. So maybe also to start, you know, like I said, because this is a mental health awareness series that we're doing, one of the things that I think a lot of people struggle with is motivation. You know, you hear a lot about, you know, whether they, even if it's not something, you know, a diagnosed mental health condition, I think that there's a lot of people that struggle just with mental health in more less severe ways. And sometimes it's motivation. You know, we get the blahs, maybe it's seasonal. Because they're, you know, they don't see the sun like you do as much, you know.
100%. Yeah.
Maybe just talk to me a little bit about how you stay motivated. I mean, I'm sure there's times, you know, in your career where you're just not feeling it, but you got to go out and do what you got to do. So, I mean, what are the ways that you stay motivated, or what advice can you give to people?
Well, first I'll say that when I graduated, I had a minor in psychology, kind of just to learn how the brain works. And just for this type, like mental health is big. And I just want to learn like how people think, especially as an athlete, just trying to any way to gain an advantage. And so when I took those classes, I would say one thing that I learned from those classes and being just around a lot of pro athletes is being in a routine so that your body just gets used to, you know what I'm saying? If you go to sleep at the same time, wake up at the same time, or you just do a workout at 7:30 in the morning every day, even if you don't feel motivated to do that workout, your body's going to want to do it because we are creatures of habit. You know what I mean? So once you get that habit, it's good or bad, it's going to be hard to kick. And so that's the first thing I do is try to just make sure I'm in my routine and so that my body's kind of, my body does a little, it kind of craves the workout. Like when I wake up, it's kind of expecting to get moving, to do something, you know what I mean? And so that's the first thing of motivation, is getting into that good routine. And then the second thing, well, for me is just finding somebody that you relate to that's in your same stage of life or in the same profession that you are. And just to see like what their goals are, what's their why? Why do they come to work every day? Why do they work so hard? Like somebody who just at your job, who's always on top of things, and just pick their brain and see what helps them and what doesn't help them. And so those are two things that I learned. And then I just love my family. And so that's what I go hard for. Like every time I feel like I don't, because I was on practice squad for 2 years in Buffalo, and that's tough being behind great players and not being able to show your skills like you think you could. And so just every time I get down, I got my brother and my sister as my screensaver on my phone. And so when I see them, and just I call my mom, talk to my dad, just I know that they believe in me wholeheartedly. And so when you got people like that behind you, it's kind of hard not to be motivated. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where I get a lot of my motivation from.
Okay. Kind of remembering why you're doing what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Push no forward. Doubt.
Yeah. I like the idea of having a routine. I feel like, you know, I think maybe that's the thing, could be the thing that kind of gets us into the blahs sometimes. It makes it even harder is because when you get out of that routine, like you said, we're creatures of habit. So you can actually get into a habit of being blah, so to speak.
You can trick your body into doing like, So you just have to, once you feel that, you just got to switch it up. And so instead of you lift in the morning, now you run and then you lift after work or something like that. Just always giving your body new stimulus, because our body just adapts to whatever we're doing. And so that's how the neurons are hardwired that way. It's kind of crazy. So,
so what are some things, in your routine that you find are kind of pick-me-ups? Obviously your workout, your exercise. Are there other things other than?
Usually during the season, I try to do this every day, but sometimes it's hard. Like I'll get in the, when I wake up at like 6:30. I wake up, I go to the facility, straight into the sauna. I probably won't even talk to anybody. I go straight to the sauna for like 15, 20 minutes, put my AirPods in, just clear my head, get ready for the day. And then I'll do a cold plunge in the cold tub just to wake my body up. And like after I get in the cold tub, that's when my day really starts. You know what I mean? That's kind of like the signal to my body that, all right, we're at work, we're about to start. Like, let's go time. So like just having those little triggers in your routine that let you know that, all right, now we're starting to work, or we're starting to, you know what I mean? And so that always helps me, just having that one thing that like, or have something that you look forward to in the morning. Like if you work out really hard in the morning before work, have something that's good for breakfast. So like you have something to look forward to after your workout or before when you get up, you know what I mean? So it's not always a drag. Like when I wake up, I'm like, oh yeah, all right, I'm about to get in the sauna, cold tub, breakfast. Like I look forward to my routine because it's the same thing, but I kind of get, I don't know, I'm kind of boring. So I get lost in the details, you know what I mean? So doing the same thing every day, like Squidward on SpongeBob, isn't like, I don't find that too boring. I kind of like being in a routine. I just know where I'm going. And so I don't really have to think. I can just go about my day, and that helps me a lot.
I think those are things too, when you talk about cold plunges. I mean, that's physically going to help you feel better. Exactly. And the exercise with the endorphins. So it's kind of combining the two things, you know, the routine, but also the thing that's really going to help your body actually, you know.
Wake up.
Exactly.
No doubt. It wakes me up for sure. It's better than coffee, even though I do drink coffee, but it's better. It wakes you up instantly.
Yeah. So when you're coming up, you know, towards pro sports, is this something that you always knew, you know, that this was going to happen and this was something you were going to do? Or did you have a lot of doubts, and how did you kind of work through that? What would you say to people who are, you know, maybe that's a dream of theirs, but they're just, you know, mentally they're just full of doubt. Yeah. How do you?
I mean, I'm definitely I'm hard on myself. And so I would just say one thing, all my coaches, like, no matter what level, nobody's going to believe in you until you believe in yourself. That's the first thing I would say, is believe in yourself the most. Like, and if you want something, go for it, train for it, put the work in. Cause once you put the work in, you'll have confidence in yourself that you can do it. That's where a lot of, I think, self-doubt comes in, is where you don't train or prepare for what your job is, especially in sports. You don't feel like you worked out hard enough during the off season. So that self-doubt kind of creeps in, like, oh, I didn't run that sprint that hard, or I didn't lift as heavy as I could. And so now once you're in the season, you're kind of like replaying the off season in your head, thinking about, oh, I didn't do this or I didn't do that. But if you just take care of the work day by day, or by the time games or practice comes, you're fully confident that you put in the work. Yeah. And then I would say, cause I had a lot of self-doubt, but man, my mom, my dad, My grandma on both sides, granddad on both sides, they just, everybody in my family believed in me. So, like, I always say this, like, my mom and my dad, like, they knew I was a star before I knew I was a star. And so, like, that right there alone, when they believe in you like that, it's kind of hard not to believe in yourself. And so, when I would have self-doubt on myself, I would just know that, man, my mom knows I can do it. My dad knows I can do it. My grandma, she doesn't know anything about football, but, like,
she believes in you enough.
She knows that I can do whatever I put my mind to. And so when you have a belief system like that, it's always easy. It's easier to believe in yourself. And so I would say, prepare like you want to win. For if you're growing up in sports, prepare like you want to win everything. And then find a belief system, people who believe in you. It doesn't have to be your parents. It can be your friends, your brother, your sister, just, or a teammate, just somebody you know that no matter what happens, good or bad, they're going to believe in you and they're going to always support you. So just having that support system and people behind you that believe in you always is going to carry you forward.
Yeah. And I think that's something that can probably be applied to not just sports, but starting a business or
all kinds of
different things throughout life. Yeah. Making a move somewhere, or starting something new. I think that's probably good advice just for any aspect. Yeah. And having people on your side that are supporting you. Sometimes I think it's contagious, right? Like,
they
get so excited about you. You're like,
contagious. Yeah, for sure. Like, cause I really wanted to play basketball. And so I thought I was good enough, but I really didn't believe in myself, to be honest, to make it to the NBA. Mm-hmm. And so, and I didn't work at it good. Like, I didn't work at it enough to be good enough to where then that self-doubt kept creeping in. Like, am I good enough? And so football, I was pretty much just naturally good at football. Like, I would go to football workouts and just do whatever. And I was just pretty good. And so when I got to college, I saw that, like, being pretty good is not going to get me where I want to go. And so I just started working out, like, every day. Off days, if we're working out with the team, I'm doing my own workout after. I just trained really, really hard. And I saw the results. And so when you do something like that, I completely changed my body, my game, everything just changed. And so once you see what, like, I feel like once people see the results of your hard work, it makes it like, it's kind of ingrained in your brain now that, all right, I've seen it work. All I have to do is just replicate that. And it'll show. Like, the work will show. It always does, especially in sports. It's going, whatever you do in the dark is going to come to light no matter what.
Yeah, that's good advice. So we talked a little bit about, you know, what we say to ourselves, you know, mentally, and what, you know, that self-talk or whatever, but how do you navigate, how do you deal with the other people? You know, I mean, cause there's always the haters out there. There's always people that are going to put you down and not want to see you succeed. How do you navigate that? And what's your advice to people? Or how do you?
I tune out a lot of stuff, but I would say, even if you see that stuff, like I said about the work, like, those people weren't there when you were putting in when you were doing the workouts or running or pool workouts or anything. They weren't there with you. So, like, even if you don't see the results right then, you can't get caught up in what people say. I would say, like, it's one thing Coach McDermott used to say a lot. Be about the process, not about the results. Know what I mean? So if your process is good and you don't get the results you want, that's fine. Don't be results based. Be about the process. If you know you did everything you could up to that moment and it just didn't work out, that's fine. That's how life is sometimes. And so I would say that, just trust the work. Like, if you're putting in the work and it doesn't work out, it wasn't meant to work out that time. Like, that just because it didn't work out that time won't mean it won't work out the next time. And when people say, you know what I mean, especially in our profession, like, everybody has a piece to say about, you should run this coverage or this player should play. And everybody's entitled to their opinions. I just feel like you got to take the good with the bad. Like, when they praise you, you got to take it with a grain of salt. And when they criticize you, you got to take it with a grain of salt as well. And so just know that those people have a job to do. Know what I mean? Like, that's what gets them paid. That's their job. They're supposed to criticize if somebody plays bad. And so I never really take it too personal, because I know that, like, being in the media is its own job in itself, and it's hard. And those people have to go out there and get views and all that stuff. And so I would just say, man, just know that even if it feels like a personal attack, that man or woman has a job to do, just like I have a job to do. And so I just let it roll off my back, and I know that my teammates and my coaches, they seen the work that I put in, they know what I can do. And so when I hear criticism from them, that's what I'll take it to heart. But anybody else, man, I mean, I just feel like that's for them to say, and that's their opinion, and I'm cool with that. They weren't with me shooting in the gym, as Drake would say.
True. You mentioned a couple habits, things to get in routine, you know, your sauna, your cold plunge and stuff. What are some other habits that you make sure? I mean, maybe it has to do with sleep or rest or recovery or, you know, recreation or what's your
I would say for like sleep, just having a good sleep routine, that's going to help a lot. Just like, I would say my sleep routine is probably around 10:45. I start my wind down. Like, I just turn on a podcast or I turn my phone upside down. Just try not to look at my phone for like 30 minutes before I go to sleep. They say it helps you just not, it just helps with your, helps that blue light and stuff. I try to do that. So like 10:45, I just turn on a podcast, flip my phone over and just start my wind down for the day. And then like every week, Friday, Saturday, I don't know, I call my mom, like just a weekly check-in, you know what I mean? Just every week or 2 weeks, I try to call my mom, call my dad, just check in, see how everybody's doing.
Yeah.
And just, you know, stuff like that. Just making sure, just routine, everything, you know what I mean? Like, and if I don't call her, or if I don't call my dad for like 2 weeks, they'll call me and just be like, hey, just checking in. Just have you haven't called me in a while, you know what I mean? So it's always have stuff I look forward to in my routine. I'm not dreading it, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Stuff that's gonna just keep you grounded and excited and
exactly. Yeah. I would say find stuff that you're excited to do, not stuff that you have to do in your routine. And it'll make it more fun.
Yeah. What about we talked a little bit already, you know, about the naysayers and stuff. What would you say, you know, there's a lot of young people, you know, maybe they're high schoolers or whatever, that look up to you and, you know, want to get to where you are someday. What would you say, a piece of advice for them, you know?
I'll tell them this. This is something my dad told me before my first college start at playing against Georgia in Athens. And I was just nervous, couldn't sleep. Like, I couldn't sleep the whole week. Just like, am I ready? Like, am I good enough? Am I going to mess it up? Like, I don't get my spot taken up. I don't play good. And so I just called my dad one day, and I don't want to curse on here. He said, he just said, same poop, different toilet. That's what he told me. Yeah. And so when I thought about it like that, it's very true. Like, I've been doing this since I was 5 years old. And so it's just a different toilet. And so that like, whenever I get nervous about a game, I just say that to myself over same, different toilets, different toilets. And so that would be my thing. It's just like, never forget why you're playing this game or why you go to work, or like, never forget that this is a kid's game. We're having fun. Go out there and have fun, no matter 80,000 people, 100,000 people, no people. We're having fun, no matter what. Just go out there, have fun, play ball, and be yourself. And like, that's why you work out with your teammates. You know, that's why you be with your coach all that time, because being that quality time together brings people close. And so, just know that your team will have your back, coach is gonna have your back, and just trust the process. And same poop, different toilet. It's not gonna be too hard. That's what be my advice.
That's good. I think that puts everything into perspective, but it is really just, you've done it many times and you can.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I'd like to ask your thoughts on social media. So social media is one of those things that, like, you know, when we talk about mental health, it can be good because, you know, there's a lot of people that you can connect with. There's a lot of inspirational stuff that you can, you know what I mean, find on there. It can be super negative too. And really, like, wreck your mental health, I feel, in a lot of different ways, especially for young people. So what's your take on the use of social media and the good and the bad and the ugly?
I would say, just like anything in excess is bad for you. So just, especially as a kid in high school, like, if I grew up now, because Twitter was like just coming out when I was in high school. Like I think my freshman year was 2012. So like it was just Twitter, Instagram, that stuff was like just starting. So we really didn't know how to use it. Like being in high school now, I would not know how to navigate it, honestly. But I would say anything in excess is bad for you. Like just take it in moderation, like good with the bad. Like you're going to post something, 20 people are going to say something good, 20 people are going to say something bad, and 10 people are going to be indifferent. That's fine. Like, just, you got to know that there are people out here who literally all they do all day is sit on their phone and troll. Like, that's what they like to do. Yeah. That's literally what they like to do. And so you can't take it too personal, I would say, especially if it's somebody you don't know. That's my biggest thing. It's like when I see somebody on social media arguing with somebody they don't know, just because I feel like it's, I wouldn't say pointless, because it's always good to express your opinion and debate and see different points of views. But once it gets like to a place where we're just making personal jabs, we're not even expressing our opinions anymore. It's not a debate. It's just a personal attack on each other. That's when I feel like it's going too far. And so I feel like social media is great for that type of like expressing your views and, you know, debating and seeing different points of view of stuff and inspirational stuff. But like you said, the good comes with the bad. And so I would just tell kids today, like, just moderation. You don't need to be on your phone all day. Get outside, get you some sunlight, play with your friends in person. Like, instead of being on FaceTime, just, what are we doing today? Let's go meet up somewhere and do it in real life. You know what I mean? And so just don't be on your phone all day. I know it's hard because I like to be on my phone too. I'm like everybody else, but sometimes you just got to know, you got to know when to put it down and know when to pick it up, I would say. And that's different for everybody. Like I monitor my screen time. Like every week I get the little notification and I'm trying to make mine go down every week. I'm trying to be under, I think mine's like 6 hours a day, which is still insane, but it's lower than what it was. It's lower than it was. I think when the off season first, I was at like 9. So I've taken like 3 hours off of my screen time, which that's is good. Awesome. But still 6 hours is crazy. 6 out of 24, that's a fourth of the day. Like that's wild. So just when you think about it like that, like do I really want to spend a quarter of my life on my phone? Like when you think about it like that, it makes you want to put your phone down, you know what I mean? So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's such a great point about the screen time. We don't realize, we have no idea until we actually see the number and it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I think too, a lot of the young people, because this is something that they are growing up in, even I guess adults sometimes, I feel like a lot of people almost get their self-worth sometimes from
You gotta find your worth in something else. So it's hard because people literally make money off of it now.
Yeah.
And so, like, I understand if that's your job, then I get it. Like, you have to do that stuff. But if you're not making money off social media, like, man, I feel like it just should be, like, something you just do recreationally. Yeah. Like, just something for fun. Like, it shouldn't be, like, you shouldn't get off work and then just on your phone looking at Twitter. Like, that's just not, it's not healthy for your brain or your body. Like, it's just not good for you. And so, it's a hard thing to balance. It's a hard thing to balance for sure. But everybody's trying to figure that out.
Yeah, that's everybody. Well, that's really all I had. I don't know if there's anything that we didn't talk about that you think is important for people to know that you wanted to add.
All I would say is, man, go support Levi Wallace Foundation. He's an awesome air athlete. He would appreciate that a lot. And I would just say thank you to Austin Air for having me on, and just, mental health is important, man. So if you're not taking care of your mentals, just find somebody to talk to, even if it's not a therapist at first, just somebody you trust and somebody that you can talk to. And just if you're having problems, find somebody to talk to, because I would rather you talk to somebody than the alternative. So it's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good advice. Very good. Well, I thank you so much for coming on and for taking time out of your day to talk. We'll be watching and the season starts and cheering you on. So
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Austin on the Air. For more information on air filtration, air quality, and respiratory health, visit austinair.com.